Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry comes from the Bronze Lens Film Festival, online at bronzelens.com.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to the cast of the Sundance award-winning independent film, Step. It opens nationwide in theaters this weekend and chronicles the lives of an all-girl step team and their journey to college. Blessin Giraldo, Corey Granger, and Taylor Solomon open up about their highly anticipated film project that is gaining notoriety across the country one step at a time. We'll also be talking to executive producer of the Bronze Lens Film Festival, Kathleen Bertrand, along with the festival's chairman of the board, Terrell Whitley. Both of them stopped by the Upfront Studios recently to chat about this year's festival, which is taking place August 23rd through the 27th. We'll also be featuring new music from saxophonist Mike Burton and vocalist Paula Champion, as well as some throwback sounds from Sweetback and much more. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
The upcoming film, Dumplin', is looking for several young ladies between the ages of 16 to 18 years old to portray pageant contestants. The ladies must have full pageant gown and regalia, along with a performing skill or talent with props. The film is also looking for former beauty queens between the ages of 30 to 40 who still have their beauty queen looks. If this is you, please submit a full-length photo in your best pageant look with good lighting to Dumplin' at centralcasting.com with the word pageant in the subject line of the email. The film Mary Lou is looking for Japanese models between the ages of 20 to 30 years of age with slender builds. The scene will be shot during the evening on August 17th and 18th, and models must be available for both nights. If you fit the description, please email your name, phone number, height, weight, size, and two current photos to marylou@centralcasting.com with the word model in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, Central City Productions will pay tribute to The Jacksons, Donnie McClurkin, Slick Rick, Guy, Olita Adams, and Jody Watley during the Black Music Honors. The live taping will take place Friday, August 18th, 2017 at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center in Nashville, Tennessee. The two-hour event will acknowledge the legendary African-American artists who have made significant musical contributions to African-American culture and American music worldwide. This year's show is hosted by television and radio personality Ricky Smiley and Grammy Award winner and actress LaToya Luckett. The Black Music Honors will air on Bounce TV Tuesday, October 10th at 7 p.m. In theaters this weekend, Halle Berry in Kidnap, the Oscar-winning actress, will star as a mother who will stop at nothing to recover her kidnapped son. Also in theaters, Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey in The Dark Tower. The fate of the world is at hand as gunslinger Roland Deschain fights Walter O'Dim, also known as the Man in Black. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue.
This is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Baltimore City.
They come home to no lights, not having food in the refrigerator, not having a refrigerator at all. But when they come to step practice, all of those things are erased out of their mind, so they can make it through life.
You up there screaming and yelling and you just stepping.
We making music with our bodies.
My mother is annoying. And I just be like, Mom, gotta chill sometimes.
I'm kind of an introvert. I'm just everything that step is not. I'm not very dramatic, but all those parts come out of me when I step.
My mission is to make sure each and every one of you graduates from college.
Are these grades your best?
Why does the STEP team get your best and I don't?
I'm trying.
School is what got me out of Brooklyn. College is what's gonna get you out of Baltimore.
You just heard a snippet from the trailer of the award-winning documentary film, STEP. The project is this year's Sundance winner of the Documentary Special Jury Award for Inspirational Filmmaking and follows the lives of three Baltimore youths who attend the Baltimore Leadership School for Young Women, Blessing Gilraldo, Corey Granger, and Taylor Solomon. Up Front caught up with the cast as well as their STEP coach, Gary, Coach G. McIntyre, their college counselor, Paula Dofat, and the film's director, Anna Lippitz, during a roundtable interview with selected Atlanta press. The young ladies opened up about using the art of stepping as a means to promote social awareness amongst their peer groups and much more.
Well, Blessing is the founder of the STEP team. She founded it in the sixth grade, and it was just the activity at the time, and then Coach came in.
All the things are like Beyonce.
Yeah.
She switched it all up.
Coach was like, what? Do you not know what's going on in this world? Right. So we sitting back like, dang, like, right. How can we express how we feel? And we know, like, a lot of people don't know about STEP. We would tell people, like, yeah, I'm on the STEP team. We in Baltimore talking about we're on the STEP team. They're like, oh, what's that? Yeah, we're like, what? What you mean, what's that?
Wow.
Yeah, so now we have a voice. We can actually support movements. The Black Lives Matter movement is definitely the one we support the most. It's the one we relate to the most. So we have to get our word out. And if you're not going to listen by us just talking, then we have to do something about it. You like entertainment, we're going to entertain you and educate you.
Yeah, and that takes it back to like the heritage of where stepping came from. People used it as communication. And for us to represent a generation, this is the perfect opportunity. But I would say it started back when we did the Bring Back Our Girls movement.
Yeah.
And we performed. And the mayor invited us to come. Because the STEP team, we don't play. We hold Baltimore high up on our backs, like everywhere we go. And we love where we come from. And a lot of people are like, are you really from Baltimore? Are you sure? And we're like, yeah.
Yes, we're from Baltimore. We're like, from the hood.
But Bliss is an amazing place. But that's when we really found our voice, because a lot of people would pay attention to us. And now Baltimore's having annual STEP competitions. They knew nothing about STEP. Nobody cared. We had to go to the counties. We had to go to like
Bowie.
We had to like raise money and do like bake sales. So it took a lot of self-sufficiency, teamwork, and it's just a lot. And to see where we vision. It started with a vision. Like that's all. I was like, I'm starting STEP team, you know? I used to boss my friends around, like, make them come to my house after, like, first grade and be like, come on, you guys. And be like, why are you always Beyonce? I'm like, I don't know, man. I could be Kelly, you know? That's where the importance comes from, because Coach G is all about who comes to practice and who works hard. Yeah. That's who's in the front.
Yep.
Now, but you got to know how to be just as powerful in the back.
Yeah.
You got to know how to be just as powerful in the far left. So that's what it's all about.
The young women also hope the film will change the perceptions viewers may have about youth from economically challenged backgrounds.
I think we're not just changing our lives, but I think we're also showing other young men and other young women from urban communities that may come from poverty or not, how to be just as confident and how to be just as hopeful and the dream just as big. Yeah, and I do plan on making this kind of like a hobby of mine. I really fell in love with talking to the youth throughout this process.
For me, I definitely can say most of us, we didn't come from a nice house or the best families, and you make the best of whatever. So yeah, I might be from the hood or whatever, and I might be respectable now, but I can turn up on you. Like, like one thing that I think we need to teach people is to turn it on and to turn it off. Because you can act like this in one place, but like when you get in the camera, it's like, hi, my name is Taylor. I'm from Baltimore. Like,
you just love Taylor.
Yeah. And then it's like, so yeah, what a party is that? But no. Yeah. Like, I just think that's really important. And, personally, I want to create like rec centers, and we just came from a nonprofit organization, so I think I want to like start a nonprofit soon, and then like branch off to rec centers in like Detroit, Philly, Chicago, Baltimore, Fresco, and I don't know where else, but I definitely want to help the community.
Step director Amanda Lippitz is a Tony-winning Broadway producer who was already passionate about educating the next generation of young girls. Here's what she told us about producing the film and the moment she knew it was much bigger than she had imagined.
I'm a Broadway producer and my other life, and on the side of my Broadway producing career, I was directing shorts about first-generation students going to college and girls' education, and I became very involved with a group of schools called the Young Women's Leadership Network. It's a group of all girls public schools. They have 100% graduation. And I just was blown away by the model of the school. I'm born and raised in Baltimore. My mom's born and raised in Baltimore and is an activist there involved in education. And we were having a conversation about what we could do to improve the lives of young people in Baltimore. And when you have a conversation like that, just all goes back to education. And I introduced my mom to the model of the school, and she was the force behind the founding of the school in Baltimore, and she recruited her daughter to make films for her. I met these young women when they were 11 years old. A lot of times people would see my shorts, and they would say, you should make a documentary, and I'd always say, well, what's the thing? You know, what is the thing that's going to propel it and make it bigger than just going to college and being the first in your family to do it? Not that that's not a huge thing, but we have seen that story a lot. And so basically, I didn't know a lot about STEP. You know, I did not know about the rich history of it coming from Africa, being something how minors communicated, and then it being a collegiate sport and something that you earn by going to college. You know, I didn't know any of that. But I did know musicals. And Blessin in the eighth grade said to me, the next time you come to school with cameras, you come to STEP practice. And I walked in, and they were stepping, and I thought, this is what happens in a great musical. And I just knew that, I knew them all so well at that point, that I knew, like, oh my God, like, this is such a wide range of girl. This is everybody from, like, a 1.0 to a 4.0. And just even, like, I remember when Corey joined the STEP team, and I went, Corey Granger joined the STEP team? I mean, I couldn't even imagine. And then seeing her step and seeing what it did for her, just over the years, I just knew that this was the right thing to do. All signs pointed in that direction. And then Freddie Gray was killed in their junior year. I was already filming, but it did light a fire that we have to do this. Their senior year is coming. We have to do this now.
Paula Dofat served as the girls' straight no-chaser college counselor at the Leadership Academy. She was very open and honest about the cameras capturing real experiences between the staff and the students.
Basically, it was no different. Honestly, and that was one of the reasons that I know that myself and Gary agreed to do it, is because Amanda guaranteed us that she would not make this into something that it was not. Mm-hmm. That she wanted us to do our jobs, and she wanted it to be authentic and to truly see what happens. You know, I've been asked a couple of times, you know, did I feel any pressure? And honestly, I think not up until the last hour did I realize that I guess maybe I did feel some pressure. And that pressure was that, were we going to be able to do what we said we were going to do and make sure that these girls had what they needed? And we have an entire team of people at the school, myself and Gary, we're both real staff members there. And we're not anomalies at that school. We are the norm. In fact, Gary and I had to be kind of indoctrinated into the culture because we'd never been any place like this. I've never been a place where, you know, every girl has your cell phone number. I walked in that school and there were two girls, honestly, probably my second day in, and they came in my office and they said, we need your cell phone number. I was like, I was looking at them like, okay, so first of all, I already pledged. Okay. Y'all won't pledge me, y'all will not be indoctrinated me. This is not going to happen. And I was like, sweetheart, I don't think that's going to be possible. And I haven't told you guys, I heard them walking away and the girls were just like, she ain't going to make it here. You know? So the culture basically at this school is that we truly are family. And what we say, we do everything within our power to make that happen because we want to model that. So to what you're asking us, it was just making sure that what we committed to in our jobs that we were going to be able to produce.
Stepmaster Gary Coach G. McIntyre also opened up about what she learned from the girls while filming the movie.
I would say the biggest lesson that I learned was just being affectionate and loving. Not that I didn't have that before, but you have 19 young ladies who look up to you, hold you accountable, are invested in your integrity, and of course I have siblings and parents that I love unconditionally, but I don't have any children of my own. So for them to literally teach me more than I taught them and have bigger lessons than I gave them. That was my biggest learning experience. Just how you can truly love and help and care for someone unconditionally that has no ties to you as far as being kin or being related. But I think that it really broadened my mind as to how you have to continue to help those that are not related to you, that are not blood, and encourage the people around you. And you never know what someone's going through, for sure.
Thank you, ladies, for the exclusive interview. Check out the official STEP trailer at WCLK.com.
The Bronze Lens Film Festival, a proud supporter of Jazz 91.9 WCLK programming, presents its 8th annual Film Festival, August 20th through the 27th. This year's events include A Salute to Music and Movies featuring Kathleen Bertrand, short film screenings, and a masterclass on auditioning from Greenleaf actor Lamon Rucker. Registration information is available at bronzelens.com.
Hey, Upfront listeners, make sure you check out the video of my interview with Leon Thomas from the upcoming film Detroit, which opens in theaters nationwide this weekend. The film chronicles the tumultuous events that led to the Detroit riots and the Algiers Motel incident, where 3 African-American teenagers were killed and 9 others were abused by the Detroit Police Department, Michigan State Police, and the Michigan National Guard. The film is directed by Oscar winner Catherine Bigelow and also stars John Boyega, Anthony Mackie, and Algie Smith.
Hey y'all, this is Logan Browning from Netflix's Dear White People, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last guests are executive producer of the Bronze Lens Film Festival, Kathleen Bertrand, and festival chairman of the board, Terrell Whitley. They both stopped by the studios to discuss this year's 8th annual festival, which is taking place August 23rd through the 27th at the Westin Peachtree Plaza Hotel. From the Women's Superstars Luncheon to becoming an Oscar-qualifying festival, both Bertrand and Whitley will enlighten us about all that is happening and why the festival just keeps getting bigger and better.
Well, good morning, Kathleen and Terrell, and welcome to Upfront.
Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Ray. It's good to be here.
I know. We've been trying to get Terrell on the show.
I made it.
Forever.
I'm here.
And Kathleen, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're kicking off this new season, the second season of Upfront, and you're the first guest again.
Yay. That's my spot. The first of the season.
The queen
that.
Is back.
And we've got so much exciting stuff happening. We're about, 4 weeks away from the
or 8th? Less.
Yeah, or less.
Yes.
Of this year's Bronze Lens Film Festival. This is year number 8.
Yes.
And I believe that number 8 means new beginnings. So what's new with Bronze Lens this year?
Well, what's new is that we are starting on Wednesday. That is, we're moving from a 4-day festival to a full 5 days of activities. And Wednesday evening at the Westin, which is our headquarters, we will be showing 4 short films, part of the All Shorts All Day series that we have. And then that parlays into Friday, where we will show 18 more short films.
Wow.
So a total of 22 short films. That's the largest number that we've ever had. Those screenings are open to the public. You just have to register at our website, bronzelens.com.
Yeah.
And what's also new is the fact that this year, Bronze Lens was designated as an Academy Award qualifying film festival for short films.
Woo-woo.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
That is
a first-tier festival level.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful to have had the support of the community and friends like you that allow us to get the word out about the quality of programming that we have at Bronze Lens. So that just takes us through a couple of days.
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about that just a little bit
yeah,
further
I was gonna say,
because
yeah, yeah.
I mean, in 8 years to accomplish what we have been able to do and what Kathleen and the team has been able to do and to get connected to the Academy this way is super significant. And I think what it does for filmmakers, especially here in Atlanta, but those that are looking to attach to the Bronze Lens Film Festival, is now giving them an elevated platform to know that there's a certain level of credentials connected. And so when you receive that laurel from us and you've been officially selected to Bronze Lens, it really, really means something.
Yes,
and so
it does.
Congratulations, Kathleen. And,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
You know, it also encourages the filmmaker to put out a quality product. A lot of times folks are like, well, I've got an Oscar-winning script. Okay, well, let's see.
Exactly.
And so now, you know, here's an opportunity to submit that and see if your work truly is Oscar-worthy.
Well, but the other part is there's a lot of people that don't make the cut for Bronze Lens. And sometimes they may feel like, hey, I've made the cut here, there, and everywhere.
Thank you for saying that.
But I didn't make it here. And the reality of it is, right now, we have high standards. And we're searching for a level of excellence that not only represents the festival, but also the criteria of the Academy, because we're in that, you know, we're in that company at this juncture. So I'm happy that we've not only sustained, but we're in a space of growth. And furthermore, we're now moving into a space of high excellence where the filmmakers that come our direction, they know that they have to bring their absolute best.
Yeah. Yeah. Again.
Yeah. Well,
and the other thing that is new then is the fact that because of the increased level of recognition, we had hundreds and hundreds of films that were submitted, but we will be showing 66 films this year. That's the largest number that we've ever screened.
Well, how many did we evaluate? I think that was a record. That was a record number
as well. So we're just very grateful for people recognizing what we are attempting to do and uplifting a great film by people of color. And over the course of those days, people will see documentaries, short films, international films, webisodes, as well as feature films. And we've got a music video this year as well.
Now, speaking of excellence, everybody always talks about the Women Superstars Luncheon, which is sort of one of the crown jewels of the festival. So this year, you're honoring some amazing women. One of them is Atlanta's very own Crystal Fox from The Have and Have Nots.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the other honorees.
We are honoring Nima Barnett. Nima is kind of like that dean of directors that was doing TV work long before anyone was recognizing it or her. And most recently, she's done Queen Sugar episodes. And Nima came to us last year really just as someone that was going to introduce someone. But we fell in love with her thanks to the people at Queen Sugar. They helped us connect with her. And we knew then that we wanted to honor this veteran who's been in the business many years and no one has said, we see you. The other person that we're honoring, in addition to Crystal Fox, whom we love, and Crystal is not new, just because people know her from The Haves and The Have-Nots,
right,
or as Luann on In the Heat of the Night, but Crystal is a veteran stage actress and is really known for her work on stage, and she's from Atlanta, Northside Atlanta High School. I think it's Northside. Yes.
Yeah. And North Atlanta.
North Atlanta is what it's called now, right. And we wanted to make sure that Crystal could know that we see her too.
Right.
And then the other person that we have is Nefertiti Nguvu. Nefertiti brought a film to Bronze Lens 2 years ago, and that film won as our best feature film. And we brought her back this year. There was a special screening that she did because now that film is moving around the nation. And we've seen things written about her as like the next Ava. And we were like, okay, well, we saw Ava DuVernay when she had a $50,000 budget, and we brought her to Bronze Lens, and great things are beyond comprehension are happening to her. So we liked what Nefertiti is doing, and we wanted to honor her as well.
Yeah.
And there may be a surprise honoree or two that we haven't yet released. Not sure, maybe in the next couple of weeks or so, definitely before the festival.
Yeah. Yes. Now, Terrell, you've been sort of helping, well, not really helping, you've been sort of with Kathleen, sort of leading this ship and going into year eight. As the board chair, where do you see Bronze Lens at year 10? And that's only 2 years away. But
great question. Yeah. I have been connected with Kathleen, I think, from the jump and from the start.
From the very beginning, before we even started, Asante Bradford told me to go talk to this guy at a company called Liquid Soul named Terrell Whitley.
Yeah, and it's been quite a pleasure. I mean, just watching the overall evolution, the matriculation, and year over year, the growth. But what we see and what I see and what we've discussed as we march towards year 10, I think really is an explosion, and not only of where we're going with film, but also bringing more and more corporate partners, bringing more sponsors to the table, enhancing the overall quality. I think the one thing Kathleen and I have really talked about is, making the Bronze Lens already has significant programming. Our objective is to expose it to the broadest level audience and to get registrations at the highest level so that as many people, whether it's students or those around the industry or those interested in the industry or just film lovers and film buffs alike, can now look at Bronze Lens as a landing spot and a destination of sort. So I think, one of the things that we're looking at for year 10 is year-round level programming. So now, Bronze Lens has expanded into some other programming and some things that we do, but we're looking at year-round. I love to talk more about creating a labs program where we begin to develop filmmakers, specifically women of color. And then also talk more about, how do we create engagements that really stretch our audiences, whether those are master classes or whether those are partnerships that allow us to do short films or branded content. Kathleen mentioned the fact that, we're doing a music video where music is returning back to the city of Atlanta, and we want the music industry to know that Bronze Lens has a place for it as well. So I think as we move and march towards year 10, there's going to be some significant opportunities, but more than anything, we're going to celebrate. Just 10 years being around is a huge accomplishment.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to make that, I think, one of the biggest parties we can. But know this, it will be a year-round party.
Yes,
and it will culminate with the festival. The festival and the superstars, the Women Superstars Luncheon, will become, as you mentioned, a crown jewel of that year. But year 10 will be big for us.
All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. We so love you guys and totally appreciate the festival. We'll be talking about Bronze Lens all month long, all throughout the month of August.
Thank you, Ray.
As we're headed towards the festival. We're excited.
Thank you
and,
for having us.
And we'll definitely have more information about the festival at WCLK.com or you can also check out the Bronze Lens website, which is bronzelens.
Bronzelens.com. Absolutely. Right. But thank you for what you're doing in the community, for what you're exposing, new artists, new filmmakers, new musicians. I love everything that you're doing. So thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Ray. And thanks for keeping us up front.
No
we appreciate
problem.
It, man.
Don't forget to go to WCLK.com for more details about the Bronze Lens Film Festival and to see photos from Thursday night's media and VIP reception. Well, that'll do it for this week's edition of Upfront. I would really like to thank all of my special guests, the cast of Step and Kathleen Bertrand and Terrell Whitley of the Bronze Lens Film Festival. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, August 12th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront. You can also keep up with us on Instagram under @UpfrontTheShow. That's @UpfrontTheShow. We'd also like to dedicate today's show to jazz guitarist and friend of the station, Chuck Loeb, who passed away this week. Make sure you check out today's Contemporary Jazz Showcase with Mark Angel at 12 p.m. as he'll be playing Loeb's final Atlanta performance. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry comes from the Bronze Lens Film Festival online at bronzelens.com.